Good evening. How's been your week? Good to see you. We're looking at following the leadings of God. And if you were here last week or you listened to last week's message, you will observe that we said that it is deliberately titled that way because it is God's responsibility, not ours, to lead us. And so we titled it Following. That means he's already gone ahead of us. He's already doing what he's meant to do. God never needs to be reminded to do what he has said he will do and what he has planned to do. But then it is the clarity that we receive from God's word that emboldens us to be on the same page with God so we can take delivery of all the things that he has made available for us. Hallelujah. So we're looking at following God's leading. And like I said, you can call it different titles. You can say how to be led by the Spirit of God and different things. But then the emphasis on following simply means that something has started and then you are supposed to now be on the same page. As a matter of fact, recognizing what God is doing is part of what we're looking at. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise." The word wise there means skillful. So it says the holy scriptures, that is the same scriptures Timothy had that got him saved. And that says that those holy scriptures, after a while of staying with those truths, those scriptures contain the ability to make you skillful. So there's something about God's word and the skill it imparts to the one who continually practices and spends time with it. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. God's word is God's mind. Let me say this. God's word is God's mind. God's word is his disposition towards shaper time. So more often than not, the minute God's word is absent, something has to fill the vacuum. You know, today we have more, probably than any other generation, more cases of people getting depressed. I think doctors are being besieged everywhere, particularly clinical psychologists, about people getting depressed. And really what is missing is not because depression is not real. What is really missing, particularly for those who are believers, is the pressure on the outside is not meeting with a sustained pressure on the inside. So if I don't have the light of God's word on the inside, because look at what Paul is writing to a young minister. This minister had issues. This minister had insecurity issues. He was a young minister. He was a pastor of pastors and was pastoring quite a large church. And Paul is writing from a child. Now, from a child there in verse 2, while he was still a spiritual baby. He says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, and within those scriptures, the same way you got saved, they carry the same ability to make you skillful, which means by reason of use. If you're looking at Hebrews 5, by reason of use, you have your senses now exercised. So our senses can be brought under control. Our senses can be brought under control by the authority of God's word. So see what it says. They are able to make the wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And then for reproof. The word reproof also is the word for evidence. In other words, evidence of unseen realities, I find it in the word of God, in the scriptures. So are there realities that belong to me? Are there really realities that have now become a part and parcel of me that I'm meant to walk in? Yes. Where do I find the evidence? That's the word reproof. I find it in God's word. Glory to God. So see what it says now. It says they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So I correct my thinking, and then that same word rebukes me if necessary and corrects me, and then for instruction in what is right. I deliberately preach that word, instruction in what is right. And as we go on, we notice there is no dichotomy between word and spirit. We are led, first of all, by the word of God. And because we are led by the word, then we understand the leading of the spirit. That's important. We are led first and primarily by the word of God. And then because we are led by the word of God, because God and his word are the same. And then we understand the prompting of the Spirit. Because the Spirit and the Word are the same. The Spirit and the Word are the same. Glory to God. So, what is telling Timothy is very simple. It is through the evidence, the teaching, the correction, and instruction from God's Word that a man now becomes skillful. So, skillful also means in every area of life, you are able to discern, this is what God is saying. This is what God will say, and this is what God is saying in every single area. Every single area. Say, I'm being led by the Spirit of God. So let me say it again. Situations will arise that will make you pray a prayer that looks as though you are trying to get God to lead you. But remember, leading you is God's responsibility. It doesn't need to be ginger to do what he has said he would do. No. John's Gospel chapter 10. John's Gospel chapter 10. And I'm going to read from verse 1. So Jesus teaching again, giving a parable. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So he's going to give a parable about sheep, sheepfold, and shepherd. The fourth personality in that picture is the porter. So there is a porter, there's a sheepfold, there are sheep, and then there's a shepherd. And he's giving a parable. It's important that your son is giving a parable. Now see what it says. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So he enters in by the door. Now see, to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So there's a sheepfold. Inside that sheepfold are potential sheep. Now, they are sheep in the sense that they need a shepherd. Let me explain it again. They are sheep in the sense that they need what? A shepherd. Remember, in Matthew chapter 9, look at Matthew chapter 9. Put your hand there. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus, he gave an illustration about the state of humanity. An illustration that's still relevant today because of it informs the way we pray. Matthew chapter 9, and I read from verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no what? Shepherd. Can you see that? As sheep. So what does shepherd do to sheep? Shepherd gives direction to sheep. So with the shepherd, the sheep find direction and they know where to go. Hallelujah. Even in natural, when you see sheep grazing on a field, not the sheep that you see around today. Those ones are stray sheep. I'm talking about, well, in foreign lands, that's better. We've seen sheep on the Danish coast. And these are professional shepherds. And that's what they do. Not the one you see here. You see that there's always a shepherd somewhere. And the sheep are on that particular pasture because the shepherd led them there. But they were in the sheepfold. So he's using the natural illustration to convey spiritually. He said they were sheep having no shepherd. So they are sheep. But the sheep needs a shepherd. Hallelujah. So go back to that, John chapter 10. So you understand what Jesus is talking about now. See what he says now. So when the porter opens, verse 3, and the sheep hear his voice. So the sheep ought to hear. He's giving a parable concerning salvation. Humanity is the sheep. Earth is the sheepfold. Then there's a shepherd. And we know the shepherd will also appear like a sheep. As a matter of fact, he's also called a lamb that opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. That's Isaiah 53. It's a lamb that opens not his mouth. So in order for his voice to be heard by the sheep, when it was time to pay the price, he didn't open his mouth. So that he will open his mouth later. So that the sheep can hear his voice. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? I see what he's saying. And when he puts forth verse 4, his own sheep, he goes before them. So notice there is sheep and there is his own sheep. Now, hallelujah. Understand what Jesus is teaching. The sheep, they become his own when they hear his voice. It is hearing his voice that makes the sheep his own. Remember, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. That means not everybody. It's as many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are what? The sons of God. And we know why you can teach the principle of God's Spirit leading us daily from that scripture. What is really talking about is that some people have been led out of the flesh, they've been led out of sin, they've been led out of righteousness, they've been led out of works, they've been led into the Spirit. That's what it's teaching about. Hallelujah. I hope you understand that clearly. So Romans chapter 8 is teaching about those who are in the flesh and those who are in the spirit. Those who are in the flesh are those who are in sin. Those who are in the spirit are those who are righteous. That's what's teaching. So you hear him say in verse 9, he said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Christ dwells in you. Can you see that? So verse 14, when it says, for as many as are led, is talking about that spirit that dwells in you is a proof that you have been led out of sin, out of unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So the walk of the shepherd started on the day you heard his voice. The walk doesn't stop. Throughout your lifetime, the voice keeps getting clearer. And what makes his voice get clearer, listen carefully, is feeding on his word. Let me say it again. Will the shepherd always speak? Yes. Will he speak in all situations? Yes. Can you make him speak louder? Yes and no. It's not by praying he will speak louder. It's by becoming more sensitive to what he's saying. In other words, you can be less sensitive to what he's saying. Do you know disobedience makes it difficult for you to hear what God is saying? If you disobey long enough, you start hearing yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, you start hearing yourself. In other words, you start hearing the voice of your own desires if you disobey long enough. So, God's voice being amplified to you has a lot to do with how renewed your mind is and the time you spend. Because the more you pray, what you are really doing is that you are sanctifying your desires and placing them at the disposal of God's Spirit. That's what you're doing. But listen what it says again. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know or they recognize his voice. Say, I recognize his voice. Okay, so, and the singer within not follow, but they flee from there, for they know not the voice of what? Strangers. Look at verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, I am the door of the sheep. Can you see that? I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, where is he entering? Into the sheepfold. What will he do? He shall be saved. Okay? And shall go in and out and find what? Pasture. So what has he been thinking about all the while? Salvation. Glory to God. So, how did you begin? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Let me say again. The reason why we teach the way we teach and go back to basics is because the basics are so important when it comes to understanding spiritual realities. Because if you don't have a good grasp of the basics, you will fall back on experience. How many of you are falling back on experience many times? In fact, if you are not careful, what you did years ago that you know you shouldn't do again, you will try to listen to what God is saying by elimination. You know what I'm talking about? If they don't call me, it's not the will of God. If they call me, it's the will of God. They can call you out of the will of God. If they give me visa, God wants me to go. If they don't give me, God may want you to go and they will not give you. I hope you understand that those things. So, a believer must learn to understand that God is a spirit and those who worship him, which is you as an individual, you are a true worshiper, it is in spirit and in truth. And the truth is the reality of what he has accomplished in Christ. In other words, God's leadership system is in your heart, in your spirit, and it doesn't change. So I cannot leave that leadership system and go to externals in order to know what God is. I'll be subject to deception. The pressure will come. If you are in your mind not completely renewed with God's word in certain areas, you will discover you will fall back on those methods. If they give me his will of God, if you will find yourself telling a friend, they don't give me, God must not want me. You know what? You are saying you are too lazy to take time. So you are not doing permutation and combination. If they give me, the amenities they will give you, you can take a job out of the will of God. And you can support with scriptures. God wants us to be wealthy. The offer had been 3 times my pay. It's the will of God. You say it's the will of God, but on the inside, there's a nudging. There is this lack of peace that settled on you when the offer was made. The more you consider going for the interview, the more you drag your feet. You forgot your wallet at home. Then you forgot your phone. When that is happening, God is going extra mile. He has left spirit now. He's not flesh. It's like Balaam and the donkey now. You are the donkey. Sorry, the donkey is even better. You are not Balaam. That you started off knowing the will of God. You now went back to ask, but you know the will of God, which is your heart is telling you, don't go. And that's where leadership of God is. Then you are using scriptures. You know when you are using scriptures for God? That means your interpretation is wrong. God wants us to be worthy. He wants us to have abundance. They offered me 3 times. It must be the will of God. But something, you lost peace. On the inside, you fell down. When you should be excited, you have that withdrawal thing on the inside. You are meant to follow it. You are not following. So if God really wants me not to go, he will speak, he will send angel. He won't send angel. He will not. He will not send angel. Because you're already acknowledging that there's a leading on the inside that you are choosing to ignore. And you know you are trying to mute the leading. You know. When you are doing it, you know what you are doing. Exactly. You know what you ought to do is pay attention to that leading on the inside. That's what you ought to do. So for as many as are led, which is already by constitution, the minute you are led out of sin, that leading of God out of unrighteousness became a nature on your inside that governs your life. Let me say it again. That leading out of sin, in leading you out, he put his nature, his life, himself on your inside, so that the leadership, that same first time you heard him, it continues all through your life as a believer. Look at Galatians 3 and verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by what? The flesh. Can you see that? Having begun in the spirit. Now, look at what he said in verse 2. This only will I learn of you. He's about to explain what it means to begin in the spirit. So, who is he talking to? The church at Galatia. And he says, you began in the spirit. This is your testimony. How did they begin? A message was presented. Where was message taken from? From the Holy Scriptures. So in verse 1 it says, oh foolish Galatians, and foolishness is a description of their action. They are not foolish by nature, they are foolish because of their action. What was the action? To be aware of reality, to ignore the reality, and pay attention to wrong teaching. See what it says? Oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey? Okay, so you are meant to continue in a particular truth. What was that truth? It says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. Can you see that? So, proof was given to you, evidence was given to you about the sacrifice of Jesus from the Holy Scriptures, which is now a reality. You believed, you received. It now says in verse 2, this only will I learn of you. Look at what it says. Received you the Spirit by what? The works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. When you hear hearing of faith, they always understand the works of the law or the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith here speaks about the hearing of God's faithfulness. So, Jesus Christ evidently set forth means that I gave you evidence from the scriptures that what was a promise is now a reality. That God promised something, and what God promised has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and I gave you evidence from Genesis to Malachi, and when you heard how faithful God has been, something happened. You began in the spirit. So when you heard it, you believed. What did you hear? God's word. So how did God lead you out of the flesh in the spirit? By the hearing of faith. What's the hearing of faith? You heard about God's faithfulness. What's that faithfulness? What he said he would do, he has done. Hallelujah. So having begun now in the spirit, so we can say this way, having begun by being led, you heard the voice of the shepherd. He led you out of the world, out of darkness. He led you into the light. So your constitution right now is light. Your environment right now is light. You are even defined by the spirit that led you out, which is, you are called spiritual, which is somebody who is sensitive to the spirit. That's who you are now. That's how you are defined. So having begun, are you now, or do you now leave those realities and go back to functioning like somebody who doesn't have spirit? That means it's possible. That's what he's saying. So he calls that foolishness. Are you so foolish? You know, the word so is a description. You are foolish is one thing. So foolish is the magnitude of the foolishness. That is, we presented evidence. You believed. You heard of God's faithfulness. That hearing initiated your brought you into the spirit. And they bring you there. What God did became your reality. And what God did is a continuous thing. So you started in the spirit. You are meant to continue where? In the spirit. That's what it means. Glory to God. So, you are not a stranger to spiritual realities. You are not a stranger to the voice of the shepherd. Jesus said, the work God will do in my resurrection is that my sheep, it says they will hear, number one. Number two, they know. Say, I know the voice of the shepherd. Now, here's one of the things I used to renew my mind when I'm meditating and I'm praying, I'm confessing, when confusion tries to smother out the word of God in my experience, because sometimes it will happen. You'll be crowded and there is no more, you can't have a more dangerous time to try to follow God's leading than when you're under pressure as per time. In fact, once the pressure is too much, I advise, confess God's word and go and sleep, because you're about to make a mistake. Because you just want to make a decision quickly, but your mind is not quiet. Now, God, you don't need to do anything to make God speak. It is His responsibility. He's a father. It's in you to lead you. But you think that there are some things you can say and do. Those things are for you. So that once your mind is quiet and you're at peace, it's here to hear His voice. What He's saying very clearly. Hallelujah. Now, look at the illustration I made earlier. It's deliberate. Offers will be given to you. And as a child of God, you can follow the senses, you can follow the spirit. So, like Isaac, you can be like this. The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Which one should you follow? If you understand that part, which one should you follow? Which one should you follow? So what should Isaac have done? This is Jacob now. What did he follow? The hands. So it depends on the senses. You know, if you hear voice, you can't miss it. But if you touch anything physical, you know you can miss it. So the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are... So he went with the hands. But was meant to go with the voice, but he meant with the hands. Now, that's a parable on its own also. The same way also, God's leading is not difficult. But there are many voices contending for that space. And so, our sure guarantee is that the Spirit and the Word always agree. So, what has the Word said, first of all? Because notice, the hearing of faith is how you began in the Spirit. Let me put it this way. The Word of God that you heard, that you believed, is what became Spirit on your inside. Let me say that now. The Word of God that you heard, that you believed, is what became God's Spirit where? On your inside. The Word became everything God said it to be. And what God said it to be is, I will put my Spirit within you. Look at Ezekiel 36. Remember what we said in it. How did you begin the Spirit? The hearing of faith. What's the hearing of faith? You heard about God's faithfulness in the gospel. So the gospel was preached. What is somewhere in the gospel? Christ died and rose. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have. So there is a having you now have because you believed that God raised him from the dead, isn't it? So when you believe what happened, what you were meant to have, you now have. It now became a reality. So it says, haven't begun where? In the Spirit. Or where you started from is the fulfillment of what God promised. That's where you started from. Now, whatever God promised can be summarized, but it was spoken in different parts and portions by different prophets in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Should I say that again? What God promised was spoken by different prophets in different portions, but they're all saying the same thing. So whatever they said contextually, everything became your experience. When you heard of God's faithfulness and you believed, you began in the Spirit. You can summarize everything they're trying to say as Spirit, 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 Spirit. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. The word new does not imply that there's an old one in that sense. The word new here speaks about that which is everlasting, consistent, and eternal. So it's new. It's something that was promised. And what he's saying here through Ezekiel is also what he has promised from Genesis. So, see what he says again. A new heart also will I give you. What's a new heart? I mean a new spirit will I put where? Within you. Notice, the one who will put it, the one who will give it, is the one who is speaking. There is a new heart, which is a new spirit. Now, that new spirit, it is my work to get it across to you and to get it into you. How did God get it across to us? You heard about God's faithfulness. How does Jesus teach that in John chapter 10? He says, my sheep hear my voice. They won't hear the voice of a stranger. And I will lead them out. How does he lead us out? By the voice that we hear. So what's that voice today now? That's the gospel preached. When the gospel is preached, you are hearing the voice of the shepherd through the gospel. When you believe, he leads you out. But the one who is leading you out has gone ahead of you. Now, that already is a description of the general way God leads. If he tells you, stay. If he says, go, it's because he has gone ahead. So he knows what is will happen ahead. That is how the shepherd is. He never takes you along a path that he has not been. I hope you understand. So he puts forth his own sheep. He goes before them. So whatever he's telling you in the now is because the way he's leading you, he has gone ahead of you. Now, Of course, you know when he's teaching about sheep, sheepfold, shepherd in chapter 10. Where did he go ahead of you? Where did he go ahead of you? He went to the cross. He went to the grave. He went through his resurrection. He has gone ahead. He has brought many sons where? Into glory. Hallelujah. He's gone ahead of us. That's what he's talking about. But then, by extension also, God's character and nature is that wherever he leads, he's gone ahead. Glory to God. Now, see what he says again. He says, a new spirit, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away. So, the word within is interesting because it means in your constitution, on your inward parts, there will be imagine. Now, in your inward parts, that's where decisions are made. That's the core of your being. That's where I'll put a new heart, which is my spirit. I'll put it within you. So, notice, I will take away the spirit out of your flesh. I will give you an heart of flesh. Look at the next verse. And I will put my spirit within you, and the putting of my spirit within you will cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. Glory to God. Can you see that? So, I'll put my spirit within. So, spirit within is ability to walk. Spirit within is ability to hear. Spirit within is ability to be led. Say, I have God's spirit. I hear my Father's voice. It's very clear. It's louder than my environment. I always follow his leading. I always hear his voice. I always know what to do. If he can't be confused, I can't be confused. Hallelujah. That's important. Now, the more you say what he has said, the more renewed your mind becomes, the more ready you are to pick up on whatever he's trying to say to you per time. That's important. Again, let me say it again. If you don't have the understanding of the fundamentals, you will conform to experiences and to your environment when pressure comes. As a matter of fact, pressure simply reveals what is on the inside of you already. That's what it does. So, Paul wrote to Timothy and said something. He says, the word of God is profitable for doctrine. He says it's profitable for reproof. And that's as proof of what is real and what is not. Evidence is profitable for correction. And then for what? Instruction in righteousness. Instruction in what is right. Hallelujah. Instruction in what is right. For instance, look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Instruction in righteousness. Are you there? So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Sometimes it says that's the lamp. So the spirit of man. So what is the spirit of man according to Ezekiel 36? What's the spirit of man now? Or what's the spirit that will be man? Let me ask again. The spirit of man. So what spirit is it referring to? Okay, let me read that verse first of all. The spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord searching all what? The inward parts of the belly. So notice the spirit of man. So what spirit did God say he will put in man? My spirit. So my spirit, that's the spirit God will put inside of man, isn't it? God now says that spirit is a candle. The word candle simply means source of light or illumination. So the spirit God will put inside man, that is the candle, that is the light giver. That is the one that gives direction. So the spirit of God within you is God's direction way inside of you. Hallelujah. That's God's direction inside of you. So that same spirit, because of the nature of God that's within you, a new heart also will I give you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes means you are sensitive to the spirit. You are alive to the spirit. You are influenced by the spirit. Praise God forevermore. You know, our housekeeper, she's been saying that for quite a while. That when she wanted to go to, something that happened to her the other day, she was about to go to so and so, and then something negative happened. And this is the best way I can say it. I don't know how to say it to you, but let me use that. And that spirit told me, I should not go. That's even better than some people. Something told me. It's not something, someone. In other words, before the step was made, a warning came. An interesting part is that if you would check your life and your experiences, it's very interesting how even in what you call the mundane things in life, have you been there before? You were doing something else. They're on the inside. Iron those clothes now. No. Sir. When I finish, I'll just go and I say, this time. By 10:30, I'll be there. I'll get it done. Then it came again. Iron the clothes now. It's gentle. It's not forceful. It's quiet. You know you're not thinking about it before. Put off that iron. as about put off the iron. I don't know. I'm coming back. Right. And then you receive a call on the bed and you fell asleep. And you know electric unit today. If you electric unit that goes, you know you are blessed. And the house wasn't born now. Now, you had iron the clothes now. You know the pattern of power supply in your area is constant. Then 9:30, they take light. You're like, you are believing God. By 4, they will bring it. This is CCM, they have not brought it. And that's what you are wearing for the interview. You know what you say? And something told me, oh, that's something. There is nobody that has not experienced it. There's nobody that has not experienced it. Every one of us. We cannot deny the experiences. Now, the question is that if we will train ourselves to be more receptive, you know, to that voice, my sheep hear my voice. So he has said that the ability to hear is already inside of you. How was it given when you heard the gospel? As many as are led. So to be led is now part and parcel of you. You are to be led. You know how to be led. And you respond to leading. Because to be led is already part of you. In fact, look at that Ezekiel again. Before we go to, we'll come back to this one. Look at that Ezekiel again. But this is my read. Let's start from verse 25. So we'll get something. Ezekiel. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean. From all your what? Filthiness. And from all your idols will I what? Cleanse you. Now, filthiness is a description of people that are in the flesh. Their ways, their syllabus, the way their lives are run is called filthiness. He even calls them idols. Now, put your hand there. Come to 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. Glory to God. Again, fundamentally, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? As what righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion? As what light with darkness? And what concord? As Christ with Belial? Or what part as he that believeth with what? An infidel. The descriptions are graphic. They are unforgiving descriptions. Very clear. Verse 14. And what agreement does the temple of God have with what? Idol. So, how does a man stop being referred to? You know, Ezekiel says, I will cleanse you from all your idols. So, a man that's not cleansed is called idols here. Which actually is a description of selfishness and sin. So, he's telling you, what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? So, he calls the unbeliever idols. He calls you the temple of God, where the activities of God are seen. In other words, if the temple is a place where deity lives, and the activity of deity are seen, it says you are that temple, and in you, God's activities can be seen. So you are native, or the leaders of God are native to you. It's natural with you. So you ought to be on the same page, which is, you have to first agree that I'm led, agree that God's voice is not far away, agree that God's voice is clear, because Jesus said, my sheep hear. And Jesus is speaking about an ability that comes, that from the first day you heard his voice and you came out, from that time, the ability to hear was given to you. You began in the spirit. Where do you continue? In the same spirit. Praise God. So, a new heart will I give. You can say, a new ability to be sensitive. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. So, to obey, to listen, to pick up, to understand, is not strange. It's part of you by nature. You are my sheep, you hear. So the emphasis there is hearing. The emphasis is not the sheep speaking. Sorry, the shepherd speaking. Shepherd has no problem speaking. He's the shepherd. Hallelujah. And it's called the shepherd in his resurrection. Glory to God. You know that's what Psalm 23 is about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus, as a shepherd, is prefigured in the Psalms, but his ability to be a shepherd was released in his resurrection. So potentially he's a shepherd. He goes to the cross. Then in reality, he becomes our shepherd because it is in the resurrection that we hear his voice. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, if you follow that particular Psalm 23, it makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He makes me walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? What is the evil Jesus is talking about? To die and not to rise again. That is evil. Hallelujah. So the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. One will I want for? I won't want for resurrection. If I die, he will raise me up again. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? Do you understand the logic? So what is evil, as far as God is concerned, is for a man to die and not to live again. Which was what was happening until the shepherd came on the scene. So that everyone who ever died has an opportunity to live. When the shepherd comes to live, you won't want for it. I won't want for life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me show you the picture. Verse 20. So you see what it's trying to say. Verse 20. Hebrews 13 verse 20. The value of the shadow of death is death. The value of the shadow of death is what? Death. It is where death holds sway. It is where death ought to have the last say. That's the value of the shadow, which is a valley where death casts a shadow. Where death has been having final say for so long. But Jesus walked there in that valley and something happened. God raised him back to life. Glory to God. You understand that now? So because he was the one that was raised back to life, the first to ever come out of not physical death. Others came out of physical death. But they never came out of all spiritual death. So those who came out of physical death still went back to death. Because death could still hold them captive. But death could not hold them captive. Hallelujah. That's why he's a worthy shepherd. Now, see what it is. Verse 20. Now, the God of peace, the one that ensures nothing is missing, nothing is what? Broken. That's life. He says, he brought again from the dead. So, he's proving his name as the God of peace. When nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing fails of what he has spoken. He brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Through what? The blood of the what? Covenant that lasts forever. When you hear blood, what do you think about again? According to what we have been looking at. What do you hear blood? What do you think of? Red blood corpuscles? Ribena? Or I'm not even missing this time around. Have they finished buying them? I've also not seen tree top. Is it tree top? Is it still alive? It has been phased out. Maybe it's still in foreign countries, though. I'll be surprised. The lime, the lemon, the... Those were the original ones. This all this tasty time matter. But look what this is there. He brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep. Through what? The blood. What do you understand by the blood? The life. What is the life? How was Jesus raised from the dead? How was he raised? How was he raised? I can't hear you. How was he raised? By the power of God. Okay. What's another word for the power of God? Spirit of God. Thank you. So by the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of the covenant that lasts forever. The blood. The blood. So the spirit is that blood. It was raised. Hallelujah. That same spirit is what is on your inside now. So he's the great shepherd of the sheep. Where did he get his greatness? In his resurrection. So that everyone who was under the valley of the shadow of death, they came out when they heard his voice. Everyone. Every single one. Now, I'm painting that picture for a reason. Here's the picture I'm painting. If you came out of the shadow, of the valley of the shadow of death, any other appearance of death, today, death will be confusion. It will be fear. It will be challenges. It will be trials. Do you think it's possible for you not to come out by his leading? He led you out of the great death. Every other one is temporal. He will lead you out also. Hallelujah. He will lead you out also. He will. He will. He will. He will lead you out also. Okay? Now, look at this now. Thank you for that. Look at verse 10 of the scripture. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 10. See what it says. For in that he died unto sin when? Once. But in that he liveth, he what? He lives unto God. Look at the next verse. Likewise. In the same manner. You are to reckon yourself also to be dead indeed unto sin. But what? Alive unto God. Through who? So my aliveness to God can be measured by the aliveness of Jesus. To the degree to which he's alive, to that same degree, I'm alive to God. To be alive to God means I'm open to God. I'm sensitive to God. I hear him very clearly. I'm not dull. I'm perceptive of his leadings. Because I'm as alive as Jesus is what? Alive. So the shepherd makes you alive with his own what? Aliveness. Pardon my English. I don't think there's any word like aliveness. But for the context of this teaching, let's borrow it. So the degree to which is alive is the degree to which what you are alive. So there is no insensitivity in you. No, you are very bold. You are very much alive. To hear his voice is not a problem because he says, I will cause you to walk in. So you pick it up very because you, your heart is no longer dull. I will take away from you the stony heart. That is that's unyielding. The one that says, I don't know what God is saying. He took away that heart. He gave you a heart of flesh. The word flesh actually means yielding, yielded, malleable, soft, sensitive, ready to pick up. That's what the word flesh there means. Glory be to God. See, I'm sensitive. I'm quick to hear. I'm quick to pick up the leadings of God's Spirit. I know exactly what he's saying to me by time. Hallelujah. That's important. So, he has done what he said, I will put. His responsibility, I will put. Now, he described ahead of time. When I put, this is what will happen. I will cause you to walk. So, Jesus also said, my sheep hear. Now, those are two testimonies against one voice. Against the voice that will tell you, I don't know what God is saying, you just lied. Jesus said, my sheep hear. God said, I will cause you to walk. And both have done what it takes to make what they said a reality for you. So I will have to side in with God's word. How do I side in? He told Timothy, the scriptures are profitable. They are able to make you wise. So something happens to your mind. Your mind sides in with God's word. The minute your mind sides with God's word, you become more perceptible to the leadings. In other words, there's less argument against whatever God is trying to say. There's less of, is it God? Is it God? Is it my feeling? Is it emotion? There's less of that because your mind is not in what? Agreement. It's an agreement with what God has said. So, to be led by the Spirit is also to be led by the Word. Is there a leading by the Word? Yes. Psalm 119, verse 105. See what it says. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy Word. What you have said is a lamp unto my feet and what? A light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet. What do you with your feet? You walk with your feet. What is path? Your decision-making processes. So, a light unto my feet and what? A lamp unto my feet and what? A light unto my path. So, every step I take it in the light of the word. Everywhere I go, which is the direction I take, it's also because my path is what? Illuminated. Now, what did he call a lamp in Proverbs again? The spirit of man is a candle. So, that same spirit God gave you is how he gives you light, illumination, clarity, or what direction. It now says, God's word also gives the same light. So, you have a twofold witness. What did God say in his word? That's the primary way every believer is led. And then, in specific situations, when you need something more specific, the Spirit will now come to bear witness. Let me say it again. A man who discards the word. What is the word? A lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So, generally speaking, if I walk in light of the word, I'm being led by God. What does that tell you? I must be conversant with the word. I must be conversant with the word. That's what it means. I must be conversant with the word. Because that word is a lamp. And it's also what? A light. Let me give you an illustration. Look at Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Illustration. See what it says? And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. So, go into all the world means go to wherever men are. Wherever you can find men, go wherever men are. And preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. Look at the last verse. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord walking with and what? Confirming the words with signs following. Why was he confirming the word? He told them to go. How did God lead them? He gave them an instruction, a command. And he has not said stop. So, where should we go? Everywhere. What will the Spirit confirm? Everywhere you go. What will the Spirit confirm? The word with signs following or with proof that word is true. That's what the Spirit was doing. Okay? So, there's a leading already to go. So, should I wake up and say, God, where should I go today? You can pray that prayer if you have been going before. Let me say, okay? You can ask that if you that have not gone anywhere. Start from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where you are. Shall be witness of you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and what? Uttermost parts. So, you can't go and preach in UK. Well, you're not preaching Obawale. See, God, I just want you to tell me that. Am I a missionary to UK? You are not. You are not. You are not. It's something else that's leading you to UK. It's Jackpot syndrome. It's not God. It's not Spirit of God and stuff. Because your Jerusalem is where you are meant to start. There's an instruction already that says start in Jerusalem. What's your Jerusalem? Where do you stay? Is it Ogba? That's your Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts. Uttermost parts is UK, Canada, the other parts. In fact, let's be sincere. Uttermost parts is not even UK. Uttermost parts is China, Arabia, but you don't want to go. Suddenly you are not led. But it's a standing instruction. Count it, Jerusalem, Judea. So let's assume that Jerusalem is your area, Judea is out of state or beyond your area. Then there's this Samaria, then uttermost pass. The first thing you have not gone, you're looking for uttermost pass. And it's clear, that's a clear instruction. And you, anytime you hear go, if you see say go, go ye. It's not ye go. It is go ye. That's what you find there, go ye. Into all the world. They keep going. So there's a standing instruction already. You say, God, should I go and preach? They say, go ye. That's what he said so. Now, are there situations where it may not be advisable to preach? Because you have started going, the Spirit will not give a witness. Don't preach now. That means what that leading is for obedient sons. Not for the ones who are doing nothing. I'm just waiting for Jesus to appear and tell me that it's a papa I should go. He will not appear. But you didn't start in Jerusalem. Because the word is already leading you. It's a lamp onto your feet and a light onto your what? Path. So, where am I meant to go? What am I supposed to do? The word has already said something. You are not meant to respond to what the word of God has said. Matthew 28. See Matthew 28. Verse 20 also. Matthew 28, verse 20. Okay, let's read from verse... teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you, even always, even where? Unto the end of the age. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So that's a clear instruction, isn't it? So if I'm looking for leading about preaching, what should I follow? What is clearly written? Because the word and the spirit, they agree. They agree. They always agree. That's important. They always agree. Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, I'm going to read from verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. When you hear that now, you will think increased number daily just means it's a sovereign move of God. No. Increased number daily means people were preaching. Because how would they hear without a preacher? Is that not part of the Bible? So people were preaching, men were hearing, and people that were hearing, that's where increase came from. So, I have planted, Apollos watered, who gave increase? But there's a planting and a watering. Then God came in on the scene and gave increase. So, increase comes after planting and watering. So, see what it says again. Verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden, who is he talking to? Paul and his company. What were they doing? They were on the go. They were on the go. They were on the go. Verse 4, they went through cities. They delivered decrees. Then, verse 6, now when they had gone throughout, so they were on the go. So these are people who are laboring. And because they were going, so there's an activity on their part that made it easier to pick up what God was saying. They were obeying what was written so that what is specific cannot be heard. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So what was written? Go. That was instruction. Go. They were going as they went through. So, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Can you see that? The word forbidden is a very strong word. It means supernaturally it was communicated. There was a restraint on the inside not to go. There was a restraint. When you go out for evangelism, we are meeting in church every Saturday, and we go out to, that is one of the best places to train yourself with respect to how God leads. I'm telling you. That will flow over into over every area of your life. I see people pray for miracles, but you don't come for evangelism. You don't know there are greater miracles on the field than in the church. Because he's going to confirm the word with signs following, not in church. He's going to confirm it on the field. Because that's where the word is meant to work the most. Because when you are preaching, you are supernaturally advertising Jesus. And then the advert is confirmed with signs. You don't advertise Jesus in church. We teach Jesus in church. To advertise means you are speaking about the product to those who don't know the product, who don't have the product. But there in church, people already have the product. We're teaching them the functionality of the product. That's what we do in church. But outside, we're advertising the product. And when it's advert, it's flashy. Yes or no? It's flashy. It must be flashy. That's why signs follow outside. Now, it's when you are going on the go, on the streets, that you now have certain specific leading. Don't talk to that man. Just continue. Now, you must have been somebody who has been witnessing. If anybody you catch that falls into your trap, you preach. Then, if there are people you shouldn't talk to, which is the time to talk to them is not now, or there's something in their heart that won't make them receive, God will now let you know. But you must be somebody who's already on the go. Why are you on the go? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the word has sent me out. I'm acting on the word now, then I can receive the impressions of the Spirit if there's a different direction to take. So you see what happened now. So they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Look at verse 7. And when they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them. No, that's Old English for the Spirit did not allow them. So they tried to. There was a constraint. There was a restraint. But they were on the go. So more often than not, listen carefully, the leading of God, when you are obeying the word of God, becomes clearer. Let me say it again. The leading of God becomes clearer when you are outrightly obeying the word of God. I always tell people, I don't need a leading to worship. If I'm commanded of the scriptures to what? Worship. I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up what? Holy hands. So, if I'm commanded to worship, and I'm worshiping, isn't it? In specific situations I may find myself in, I can receive a specific leading to now worship. Instead of doing other things, yes or no? But is it within God's word I should worship? But in a given situation, can I be led to specifically worship? Yes. So it's because I've been practicing worship that it's easier for me to now hear the Spirit saying now, what you do now is what? Worship or giving praise. It's easier. If you have schooled yourself according to God's word when it comes to giving, it's easier for you to hear God say, I want you to give this amount. Why don't you ever hear God say, give this amount? Maybe you have not been giving properly. How can God say, God says I should give you 100,000. Have you ever heard God say that too? But Brother Sonny said, God said, Brother Sonny has been giving since. Anyway, some of us give as it was in those days. So it is now. So will ever be. Amen. You know what I mean by that? There's this elastic limit in your mind. Anything more than 500 naira, it will not be able to come out of your wallet. There will be a constraint and it's not leading. It's flesh. You just feel like it's... Now, if it's very interesting. Even if God has blessed you, as when you were earning 40,000 was when you were giving 1,000 naira offering or 500 naira offering. Now you're earning 120. Do the calculation. That's three times what you're earning before. But it is not yet commensurate to the release. That means it's 120 in your account, but it's not 120 in the heart when it comes to giving. There's still no release commensurate to. I'll be here sometimes. So now you're not likely to hear God now say, my son, give me half of your salary. Eh? Now you're in this economy. I bind you. I can't speak to God. God wants me to live well. God wants me to survive. If I give that out, I will die. I went to a meeting some years back. And over the years, I've schooled myself. I never think about honorarium. I never think before I go for a meeting. I don't. So I can be free to minister. I never think about honorarium. So that's why it's possible for me to go for meetings and I pay my way. I pay my way so that if they, in quotes, do not honor me when I'm leaving, there will be no strife. I hope you understand. Yeah, so, because when there is strife, you stop trusting God. I mean, I went to a meeting before that. I paid my way. And when I got there, they said that the overseer is not around. So I had to find my way back. Now, I praise God. I thank the Lord. And I would have gotten into offense. And I really ministered and I blessed them. And it was out of state. And when I got, and I was just thanking for him. When I got to Lagos, what they didn't give me, somebody else just gave me. And God told me, I said I will take care of you. Some years after, they invited them back to that place. And I still went to go and minister. And this time around, because of what happened then, they wanted to really, really apologize. And they did. I hope you understand what I said. Some people have picked up the interpretation. So I went for this meeting. Here's where I'm going. And I really needed money, but I have changed my mind not to think about it. So, as they gave me the honorarium, on this side ahead. As you are going to church, go and drop that money. If you have not been dropping before, you tell Satan, I bind you. It's God that blessed me. The blessing of the Lord, he make it rich. And you start quoting scriptures too quick. Because I have no part with you. You just start quoting that doesn't have anywhere. The blessing of the Lord, he make it, he added no sorrow. This is sorrow. And that's not. So as you are going to, now, there's also a way to think. Why would God, who knows you need money, be asking you to drop the same money you need that they just give you, if he's not planning something? I don't know if you get it. So a lot of times when those kind of leadings come, a sound Christian who is used to being led, who is first of all practicing God's word, will start rejoicing. Increase is coming. Increase is coming. God is up to something. I'm being sincere with you. This is the Christian life. In fact, let me tell you, listen. The time will come when you hear God's voice in those areas, you'll be craving to hear it, and you may not. When I say craving, you wish God will say that to you more often. Because every time it happens, something is going to break loose in your life and your finances. I'm sincere with you. It's going to break you. So rather than be afraid to hear it, you'll be eager. And the last time this voice came, and I acted on it, what I saw, what I experienced, was the God that's more than enough. Hallelujah. But in my way, started from, you start obeying the word, you're acting on the word. It's easier for God to give such instructions to an obedient son. But the ones who are disobedient to the word, giving you will not give. You know, it's interesting. You know, in our church, if you don't give, you will know. I mean, that is that. You know, so that you will not be embarrassed, we don't ask you to dance to the front. Sorry, you're laughing. Because sometimes those things, I hope you know, dancing to the front to give is not a sin. That is fine. Some of them ask the pastor, we need to do it in the church. If you want to do it, go ahead, pastor, we'll coordinate you. But here's the issue. I've also seen certain settings, it puts pressure on people. You don't have what to give. And some people, they have eagle eyes. They're looking at you that the envelope is light. There's nothing in the envelope. And you know, integrity of heart, you don't want to drop empty envelope. Say, this is even hypocrisy towards God. God knows the envelope. If nobody knows, God knows the envelope. You think ushers have not been ushers. You think finance have not been opening empty envelope before? Has somebody dropped there? But when you know nobody is pressurizing you to drop, you will not drop empty envelope. Because maybe you don't have that. I hope you understand. So there's no hypocrisy, there's no force. Because if you don't have at that time, you don't have. And it is accepted. Not according to what a man first has. It is according to a willing heart. So there are people who don't have, but they are willing, and God sees the willing heart. That means the one who has a willing heart, when he has, what will he do? He will give. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So those things form a major factor when it comes to leading. What God will tell you, or what you will hear God tell you, because of how renewed your mind is. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's important that we realize that, first of all, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the spirit suffered them not. Look at the next verse. We'll close here. Verse 8, please. And they passing by Mysia, they still continued. So we tried this. The spirit gave us a witness. Don't go. So we now went to Troas. Where were we not allowed to go? Bithynia. Where else were we not so far to go? Mysia. So what did we go? We went to Troas. When we now got to Troas, something happened. Look at the next verse. And the vision appeared to Paul in night. Where? In Troas. Not in Mysia or Bithynia. So you are where you are meant to be. Where are you meant to be? In Troas. Because if you are not meant to go to Troas, another witness will have come. Don't go to Troas. That means, I won't say what came to my mind. If I say it to you, but it's what you say, Lord. And you are by that. Mysia, don't go. Bithynia, don't go. If you try Troas, don't go. Okay, let's go back to where we're Phrygia. That's the next level. So the two you tried, but it was because you wanted to go that a leading came, isn't it? Then you now went to Troas. And when you go to Troas, more clarity came as to what to do. That means a step of obedience was rewarded with more revelation. If you understand what I'm saying. So when he got to Troas, something appeared. A vision appeared to Paul in night. Look at what happened. A man of Macedonia stood and prayed, saying, come over to Macedonia and what? Help us. Look at the next verse. It says, and after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavor to go into Macedonia, assuredly one gathering that the Lord called for us to preach. And we'll explain some of those things later. We'll go on. Because when it says, assuredly gathering, we is Paul's company. Who saw the vision? Paul saw the vision. So Paul was obviously used, just like other people of his company were used to consulting with one another to find out what God is saying. So we tried to go to Mysia. Everybody said that. We also felt the same restraint. Bithynia, we were forbidden. So they felt the same restraint and they conferred. Yeah, it's like, there's this red flag that we shouldn't go. So they all agreed, so they stayed. But when they got to Troas, when Paul saw that vision and he shared with them, everybody was like, yeah, it's like, that's where God wants us to go. So why? They consulted and they all agreed, this is the next place to go. So it is okay to experiment when it comes to what? The leading of God. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is what? Good. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. All right, we'll continue next week. Amen. We'll stop here tonight.